Well, you know that it's going to be alright. I think it's gonna be alright. Everything will always be alright when we go shopping. Well, you know that it's going to
be alright. Hello, shoppers! Welcome
shopping
to the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show on 1350 KRNT. February 19th, 2011. 26 seconds past 8 o'clock on a fine Saturday morning. Thank you so much for tuning in this morning. My name is Johnny Wright. How be you? Hopefully you be good. Weather's been nice, sir. In fact, I would even say the weather's been nice. It isn't that we've had to accept, you know, say it's 40 degrees and say, that's great. You know, because compared to what it was just last week when we had temperatures dipping below zero, sure, it's, it is literally, and not yet, was it yesterday? It was just really nice. It was above 70 degrees, yes, and today, well, we'll get to the weather forecast in a minute. Not bad. Tomorrow, much warmer day, but rain. So spring, yes, spring is in the air. Spring is in the air, in the whisper of the trees, or however that song goes. How would I know? I just played that thing 1,000 times in my 20-year radio career. Coming up on the radio program, I think you're going to enjoy today's show. Dan Wolf is the CEO and now state senator for the fine state of Massachusetts for Cape Air. He's going to join us on the program. Fantastic success story, Cape Air, and I had a chance to fly Cape Air a couple of weeks back. It's been about a month now, and I was visiting a client out in upstate New York, and it was part of a blog post that I wrote about United Airlines and the TSA and just a secret shopping trip, nothing terribly secret about it. But Dan's going to talk about the success of Cape Air and how they got off the ground, so to speak. Jim White also will join us later in the program. He is a VP of guest satisfaction at the Isle of Capri casinos, of which there are quite a few now surrounding around the Midwest. And so also, you are going to get a chance to win two-night stay at Casino Hotel Waterloo and dinner for two at Otis and Henry's Bar and Grill. Plus, as if that were not enough, $100 spending cash so you can go play a little bit. Yeah, you can go do a little gambling. Yeah, you got a chance to win that this morning. So keep listening for your chance to win. Be giving that away this morning. Your weather forecast today, well, a cloudy day, a little on the dreary side, but not bad temp-wise. Temperature of 44 high end, and then the rain begins. And this is going to, you know, it's kind of looking dirty. I think we're kind of dusty right now. Yeah, there's a lot of dust around, so maybe it's a good chance to sort of wash away a lot of that goop. Rain, even thunderstorm possibility. Now, the Weather Service says there is a 100% chance of rain and possibly a thunderstorm. And, you know, you really don't get. Now, there's some gambling odds. You know, if you knew that there was a 100% chance a horse would win, you maybe lay a little down. But the Weather Service said, all right, listen, if it doesn't rain, don't blame me. It's the people at the National Weather Service. A 100% chance of rain this evening and perhaps even a thunderstorm. Wow, spring is not far off and a low of 36. And then for Sunday, the rain continues. Again, perhaps a chance of a thunderstorm and much warmer. 61 degrees, yes, for Sunday. And now we're down to a 70% chance of rain on Sunday. And then Sunday night, it could cool off a bit for a little bit of snow. And Monday, still a slight chance of snow, only about 20%. So the chances are diminishing. So it's good while the temperature's above freezing that we let it be rain. Yeah, we're okay with that. They're saying up to an inch of rain over the next 24 hours. So that's some pretty heavy rain. Yeah, and aren't we thankful that, again, we are above freezing. Right now, we're just a skosh below freezing at 29 degrees. Last week, I had the wonderful, fortunate opportunity to spend a little vacation time in the beautiful city of San Diego. And I have to tell you, that was my second trip to San Diego. The first time I'd been there was really on business. It was a number of years ago and sort of in a different state of mind and doing some different things and didn't really notice. Although I knew it was a beautiful city, I could obviously tell while I was there. This time, you know, the term epiphany is not a term I think most of us have a chance to use and not start laughing and giggling about it. I have to say that the trip to San Diego for me was an epiphany. And part of that epiphany is part of the show this morning. This will be my last radio show for a while. And when I say a while, I mean Well, probably for about the next 6 months. In fact, it'll also be the last blog post. And I write a blog called The Unsecret Shopper, which I've been writing for over a year now, started in 2010. And it is a blog that is committed to the idea that we all deserve better customer service and that we can be happier people as happier employees, happier customers, happier owners, happier everyone if we just work on being happy. And that's not, you know, that sounds simple, but it ain't that easy, as we all know, as we go through our lives. So after a year of blogging and posting and secret shopping businesses at random and literally hundreds of businesses and also doing customer service training for Dolls Foods, of which I do customer training now for all 12 Dolls stores, soon to be number 13 with the opening of the Ames Dolls store, probably sometime later on in the spring, maybe even summertime. So in any event, my epiphany, and I'm coming around to this, was in San Diego when I completely unplugged from everything technological that I possibly could. Yeah, there was cable TV in the room. Okay, all right, so it wasn't completely shutting off. And there was a car to be driven, and that's got some computers going on inside of it. But I left my cell phone at home. I left my cell phone at home, and not by accident. It wasn't like Home Alone 3, hey, where's my cell phone? No, I put it on the counter, turned it off, said, yeah, I'm going to leave it there. Left my laptop at home. No laptop, no cell phone, 4 or 5 days. Let's see what happens. And I've got to tell you something, it was one of the nicest five-day spans I've ever had, ever. Being completely unplugged and disconnected. And, of course, what better place to be unplugged than in beautiful, sunny San Diego? And for every one of those 5 days, temperature was around 70 degrees. Almost every day was sunny. And it was the most beautiful time. And much of that time I spent on the beach, Mission Bay, La Jolla, beautiful areas, recreational, soothing, laying in the sand, getting sand all over, a toe or two into the ocean a little bit there on occasion. And my epiphanal moment sort of came, I think, about halfway through my time out in San Diego when I realized that for the first time in a long time, I was really happy. Now, maybe I've been happy this whole time before that. I don't know. I probably have been. But with the level of stress, I think, that is created by technology, and with as much as technology makes our life easier, I think particularly with communication technology, it also makes our life more stressful. The idea of staying connected and always wanting to check emails and texts and communicating and that constant hard-edged graphical text, physical. I mean, there's nothing soft about a cell phone. It's made of metal and it's plastic and whatever's in there and your laptop and it's hard and it's LED lights and it's technology. That's what it does. It's not made out of trees and bamboo like a Gilligan's, although maybe there was a Gilligan's Island episode where probably the professor did make a computer out of coconuts, I imagine. But being inside that tropical paradise, which is really what it was for 5 days, and really being surrounded by softness, by sand, and by the beautiful ocean and the air off of the ocean and the trees and the sunlight, I realized that I had become disconnected from the things that were the most important, really. And that epiphany for me led to an understanding that the next 6 months was going to be particularly challenging as I wrap my arms around another 6 doll stores in my customer service training. For the past 6 months, I've been training just 6 doll stores, customer service training on a weekly basis at those stores, which include the dolls at 50th and EP True Parkway, 86th and Hickman, West Hickman, Merle Hay, Ingersoll and Beaver, those 6 doll stores. And weekly customer service training at those stores includes being in front of employees on a weekly basis, secret shopping those stores on a weekly basis so to make sure that the training sticks. That's what the secret shoppers do for my company, The Biosphere. And again, you can read all about that on my blog, theunsecretshopper.com. And so understanding that now the next 6 doll stores are going to get added into this mix. So all 12 doll stores, all the time, weekly training, driving around like a crazy man, and that plus the blogging and the radio show and all of that. And all of that's good as gravy, and I had full intentions of going down this road and doing all of it. Yeah, I can do all of it. You know, I was raised by women, and women think they can do everything. They can just multitask. You know, my mother, grandmother, my aunt, the people that raised me, they just thought they could do everything. And you know what? They did. There really wasn't a lot of choice. You just went and did it. You know, dudes, I think we think different. We think, you know, I can do that. I maybe don't want to do some of that. And I'll take that, and I'll just, I won't even worry about that. And usually those things we don't worry about are a lot of times the things we ought to be worried about. But okay, enough said. So I figured I could multitask and do it all. Well, after spending that time in San Diego, realized, you know what, I don't think I can. Or even if I can, at what cost? At what price was I going to pay to do all of those things? Things I love to do, things I need to do, things that pay the bills, things that bring me joy, which are all and everything. And so I realized when I came back, I was going to have to make a choice. And the choice for me was clear. I needed to let go of some things for a while. And that includes this radio program and the blog post. But I think it's a wonderful lesson. And, you know, I there's no accidents. I think God channels us and takes us in directions. And we feel like we're taking ourselves in a direction. But, you know, I think it's all written down somewhere in a book that God is writing and is written. He kind of knows how this is going to play out. That's my sense. I don't know if that's in the Bible anywhere. It's just my feeling a little bit. But it was a huge awakening for me. I think as I laid on the beach and my pores opened up and I felt the sunshine and the softness of the sand and the wind and the breeze, I realized that I was missing something really important. And what I was missing was time, quiet time to reflect, that little bit of distance between me and the rest of the world, just a little. As children, I think we have this automatically. It's omnipresent. We don't stop and think, hey, I have distance between me and the rest of the world. Although I think there are times as we get older, particularly in high school graduation, that we begin to see that world get a little closer and that distance shortens, and we get closer to the hard-edged reality of day-to-day life and paying bills and all the things and the grind of being an adult and taking care of ourselves and perhaps children and family and so forth and so on. And I realized that was creeping in on me, and I was allowing it to, and I had control of that. And so this stepping back from some of the things that I do dearly love but that will free up more time, simply more free time for me, really opened my eyes and realized there was a necessity to do this. And part of that, too, is a commitment to Dahl's Foods. And, you know, I think there are five kinds of customer service, five levels. I think there's bad customer service, average, good, great, and transcendent. I think those are the five levels of customer service that we experience when we go in and out of any store at any time. I think the only two that really matter are the first and the last. The bad kind of customer service is the kind that gets you on the internet, gets people blasting the company. It makes that viral thing, Legends, Bar and Grill. We know all about that viral, how bad can get. And then there's the transcendent. And I was thinking about when was the last time I had a transcendent customer service experience. And you know what? There haven't been many of them. And it's hard to remember any of them. And I ask you that. When's the last time anything was transcendent for you on that level? And so my goal with Dahl's Foods is to create a transcendent customer service model inside their 12, soon to be 13 stores. And that is going to require my full and total commitment. As I left the beach, San Diego Beach, I made a promise and a commitment I was going to come back, which I will, and frequently. In fact, you know what? I just may move out there. The hardest thing was putting the bags on the old, you know, putting them back on the airplane. That was one of the hardest things. You know, it's 70 degrees and sunny. I mean, you can go by. Listen, they don't make a bad taco in San Diego. And the craziest thing, there are Taco Bells everywhere. And I'm thinking, okay, all these mom-and-pop places that make these wonderful burritos, tacos, everything. And then you got this chain restaurant, a Taco Bell, that we've got here in Iowa. And I thought, well, why would they? There's like 30 of them laying around. How can they possibly compete? So anyway, I do want to say never, ever, ever, ever order the Capesa. If you go to a out in San Diego to order a taco, never get the Capesa. C-A-P-E-Z-A, I think is how it's spelled. Yeah. Yeah, that's you don't want that on a taco. Yeah, I kind of found that out the hard way the first night I was there. But anyway, all of this reminds me of a story that I wrote. And it's funny, again, there is no such thing as an accident. Everything happens for a reason. And it brought me back to something that I wrote 10 years ago. I wrote a story I was thinking about. It was sort of a tough time in my life. And I was thinking about what it was to reinvent ourselves, what it was to rediscover who we are over and over, and how we tend to tear ourselves down and rebuild ourselves, reconstruct ourselves over and over and over. New hairdo, new marriage, new place to live. Constantly build it, tear it down, to rebuild it again, to reestablish who we are, discovery, whatever it is. And I thought of 10 years ago, I wrote this little mini story about a little boy who was standing on a beach. And the little boy wrote his name in the sand. He's 3 years old. He can barely write. He has hardly any strength. He's just a little boy, and he has a stick in his hand. And he scratches his name in the beach. And pretty soon, the ocean waves come along and wash away his name. And then he comes back. He's 10 years old, 7 years later, and he's standing on the same beach. He has a stick in his hand. It's a slightly larger stick. And he scratches his name into the sand. And pretty soon, the ocean waves come along and wash away his name. He comes back when he's 18, spring break, comes back to the same beach, has a bigger stick, reaches down and digs a little deeper into the sand and scratches his name into the sand. Same thing happens. Ocean wave comes along, washes it away. The young man does it again in his 20s and 30s and 40s. He keeps coming back to the same beach. Every time he finds a bigger stick, every time he pushes down deeper into the sand, and every single time the ocean waves come along and wash away his name until the man is in his 50s. He comes back to the beach and he says, I'm going to dig. My name is deep and it's hard. I've brought all this strength I have and all this knowledge and everything that I have. I'm going to just put it into the dig down as deep as I can into the sand. I'm going to dig my name. And so he does that. He digs his name as deep into the sand as he possibly can. And along comes the knowing hands of a loving God in the form of the ocean waves and washes away his name and beckons him to write again. As we reinvent ourselves over and over, as we rediscover who we are and what we are about, it is not a destination, it is a journey. And I have to say that my journey last week was one of the most extraordinary I've ever taken. And it is leading me to more epiphanies down the road. So in any event, I appreciate any time that you've listened to this radio program, anytime you've read the blog, I'm very thankful for that. This will be my last show and last blog post later on this morning as we podcast this show for a while. I'll be back in the fall. Let's see how we do with the dolls, folks, as we try to reach the transcendent level of customer service. Somebody who has already done that to some extent is Dan Wolf, CEO of Cape Air. He'll be joining us next. Also coming up later on in the program, Jim White, the VP of guest satisfaction at the Isle of Capri Casinos. And coming up for the end of the show, you got a chance to win 2-night stay at Casino Hotel Waterloo and dinner for two at Otis and Henry's Bar and Grill, plus $100 spending money at the casino. All that coming up next here. The Unsecret Shopper Radio Show rolls on at 1350 KRNT.
This year, everyone needs a flu shot. At Dolls Pharmacy, walk-ins are welcome. Flu shots are covered by Medicare and most insurance programs. This year's vaccine protects for 1 year against H1N1 and the seasonal variety. Ask your Dolls pharmacist about cholesterol screening, INR level screening, a medicine review, plus pneumonia and shingles vaccines. Dolls accepts all insurance programs. Since 1952, the neighborhood pharmacy you can trust. Dolls, expect more.
Want to save money this month and have a better running vehicle? We can help you with that. Get a $20 instant rebate on all Napa cabin or air filters with the purchase of any oil service this month. The $20 instant rebate air filter special. only from AAA-approved Westside Auto Pros. Maintain your car with us. With temperatures falling and Des Moines gas prices rising, it's a great time to consider nitrogen for your tires. Filling your tires with nitrogen instead of regular air will keep them at a more constant pressure in the winter, which helps your car get better gas mileage, and that will save you money at the pump. Ask about the benefits of nitrogen for your tires from AAA-approved Westside Auto Pros. Maintain your car with us.
On 92nd Court, just off Swanson Boulevard in Clive.
Hi, I'm Jim Bittner, General Manager of Iowa's number one Ford dealer, Charles Gabus Ford. 2010 is over, but what a great year for Ford and us. More Iowans bought their new Ford from Charles Gabus Ford, so come experience just not the Ford difference, but the Charles Gabus Ford difference. We became Iowa's number one Ford dealer by offering great deals on the largest selection in the state. We back that up with the best service after the sale, including oil changes for life. We give you straightforward, bottom-line pricing and use factory rebates you actually qualify for. People like the what-you-see-is-what-you-pay pricing without the games and gimmicks. And don't be fooled by other dealers' ads. Iowa's number one Ford dealer, Charles Gabus Ford, sells for less. Locally owned and a dealer for over 58 years, that's Charles Gabus Ford, or on the web at GabusFord.com.
Big enough to serve you better, small enough to care, Charles Gabus Ford.
Welcome back to the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show. 1350 KRNT. It's 8:21. Good morning. My name is Johnny Wright. Thank you for tuning in this morning. We've got 29 degrees high temperature today, 44 with rain and thunderstorm chances tonight all the way through your Sunday. Actually, into Monday, a little bit of snow chance as we get back to work, but only about 20% by the time we get to that point. Well, I wrote a customer service review of several parts of a journey I made out to the Northeast as on business, visiting upstate New York, as I flew out there, United Airlines, Cape Air, the TSA was a part of that review, and that review was 2 weeks ago. You can find it at www.theunsecretshopper.com, as well as Secret Shopper Reviews and opining by yours truly of many, many other subjects at the blog post there. And listen, if you ever want to start a blog, remember, it's just really all it is. It's like if you're not good enough, like I am, if you're not good enough to write for a newspaper, you can write for a blog because you can just go start it yourself. It's like starting your own newspaper. Sure, you're right. Have a lot of fun with it. You invite people in. It's a blast. And the Unsecret Shopper blog has grown nicely over the past 12 months. But that review is from 2 weeks ago, and there were some really good customer service moments around that. None better than with the people of Cape Air, which is a predominantly, well, started in the Northeast, but they also now serve southern points of call, tropical points. They're all over the place. And Dan Wolf started it all. He is the CEO of Cape Air. He joins us this morning. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. How are you?
Dan, I'm fantastic. Everything is A-OK, or in flying parlance, would I say that we have IFR flying conditions, or I don't know. I don't know what the terms are. What would it be for smooth sailing?
VFR, which is visual flight rules, and it means, or CAVU, which stands for ceiling and visibility unlimited.
Oh my heavens. Wow. You got a lot to learn to be a pilot, don't you?
There are more acronyms in aviation than there is, I think, in just about any career.
What got you interested in flying?
I was the kid by the airport fence growing up. I mean, I think people are born with loves of certain thing. I was intrigued by it. I loved it. Watching birds and flying kites and watching airplanes. So it was always a love of life.
And so I imagine you were chopping at the bit to actually be able to get airborne.
Yeah, I went off to college in the state of Connecticut and worked summers out here on Cape Cod in eastern Massachusetts. Worked summers and then took flying lessons in between working. So I started to fly in 1977 when I was just 19 years old, and I have been flying ever since.
Do you remember your first time up in an airplane?
Yeah, it's a little embarrassing, actually. I got very airsick.
Oh, did you?
Very. I had a great uncle who was a pilot, and he had his own airplane, and the first two lessons I took from my great uncle, and I actually got airsick in both of them.
So you were thinking, okay, maybe this is better from the ground, just watching airplanes than next.
I had my moments at Taft. So when you have a love like that, you can overcome obstacles, and it really was that.
Well, how do you go from being a kid just watching airplanes take off and birds fly and being fascinated by it to being the founder of what I think has one of the best customer service models of any company, airplane or otherwise? How does that happen?
I think just like anything in life, I think if you follow the passion and keep your head down doing the right thing day in and day out, every now and then you look up and you say, wow, this is amazing. You know, we started with one airplane. We've got 69 airplanes, so we're about to hit 70. We started with one route. We now serve 40 different destinations, really all over the world, as far west as Guam out in Micronesia, and as far east as the Caribbean. So I think if you keep your head down and just follow the passion every day, it turns into great things.
When did you know, Dan, that you were going to transcend, or was it always the intent by design that you thought, all right, I want to start an airline and I want this to grow and be very successful? Was there an epiphanal moment for that for you?
Not really. I mean, I was living here on Cape Cod out in eastern Massachusetts, and through the 1980s, it was a very volatile time in the airline industry, and a small airline that was going from out on Cape Cod, out in Provincetown, to Boston, Massachusetts. That airline went out of business, and it was an opportunity for us. I was had learned to fly. I was a mechanic. We got together a handful of people, bought an airplane, and the rest is history, as they say.
What were the biggest obstacles and impediments to the company growing and being able to fly out of different destinations?
Well, I think those obstacles have sort of changed as the company has evolved. There are times when there are pilot shortages, so the challenge becomes, can we find enough pilots? There are times when the regulatory environment is very challenging, and there are times when the economics and competitive landscape don't work. When fuel spiked a couple years ago, that was a huge challenge. In some of our markets, we'll have competitors come in an irrational way with big airplanes and low fares, and that can be a challenge. So I think, you know, the key to any good entrepreneurial enterprise is being flexible and responding well when challenges change and emerge.
My guest this morning is Dan Wolf. He's the founder of Cape Air on 1350 KRNT. The customer service model is what brought me to you, Dan, and I was flying, and I had no sense that this was going to be the case. I have a client in upstate New York that I do customer service training for, an auto repair business, and I had the wonderful privilege of flying Cape Air, and I was just honestly stunned at the level of just the smallest things, as you and I know really mean a lot, smiles and greetings, hi, how are you? And getting my name and using my name. And as I wrote in a blog, which I believe hopefully you had a chance to read, but I was amazed at how good the customer service was. Did you set out to design it that way? Did it sort of evolve into that?
It's funny because even though I've always had a passion for aviation, I've also always had a passion for working with people in very collaborative ways and sort of celebrating the human experience, if you will. And I think, you know, if the values of the individual that start a business really are about relationships and about the human side of it, that evolves into a real culture of service and collaboration. So as much as it was sort of a technical endeavor at the beginning, always at the heart and soul of our company has been a desire to serve, to enjoy what we do. And you probably saw our little acronym, Mocha Hagati, which
yes,
stands for make our customers happy and have a good time doing it. First and foremost in the airline industry, it is about safety, and we take that very seriously. But after that, we try to be flexible. We try to have fun at the job and make it an engaging experience for our customers. We love flying at Cape Air, and we like to share that love of flying with our customers.
And that was so evident with the folks who engaged me and Bill and the gang on the ground crew and so forth. And there was such a distinct difference between my experience coming out of Des Moines, my city where I live, and the TSA agents, and sort of frankly being roughed up and felt like cattle through a chute when I was boarding the United Airlines, as opposed to when I got to the East Coast, and I lived on the East Coast a bit, so I was sort of used to that customer service model being a little higher end. But is it part and parcel of a process that you evaluate incoming employees that way? Is there a training model they go through?
We try to keep it informal and flexible, and I think that, you know, it's one of those oxymorons of business that what we try to do is push people into a rigid training environment and a rigid set of rules and policies, but then expect them to treat people with dignity and respect. I really, one of the keys to our model that works is we expect to have each customer treated as the individual that they are, which means that you have to empower frontline employees, and you have to really make sure that everybody on the front line looks at each customer as though they could be their mother, their father, their child, their grandchild, and really sees each individual as a human being. And that involves a certain amount of training, but it also involves a culture where they're treated like that on the job. But they come to work every day, and what they experience in their relationship with the company needs to be consistent with what their expectation is as far as their experience with the customer.
How important do you think, and this is sort of a straw man of a question, but how important do you think customer service is to people who fly?
Well, let's face it, the bar is pretty low at this point. I mean, I think, you know, between the TSA experience, which should and needs to be improved, and sort of the challenges of our industry over the last 30 years, we now have a couple generations of people who have very low expectations relative to what they're going to experience in the airline world. And that's unfortunate because flying is a blessing. I mean, the fact that we can extract metal out of the earth and turn that into a machine that flies at 600 miles an hour and really makes the world such a small and accessible place, the magnificence of that is lost in an experience that is really needs to be improved.
Wow. Wow. That needs to be a bumper sticker. I mean, it'd be a long one, but I like what you just said. That was really powerful. Dan Wolf is my guest this morning on 1350 KRNT. And recently, not only founder of an airline, but also recently elected state senator. Talk about your journey into politics.
Well, about a year ago, sitting at my desk, realizing that we had build a great company that I work with fantastic people. And it really is sort of, to me, about obligation that we have. Those of us who have done well in this country, and I certainly was one of them, looked at it and said, you know, I have three children. The world that we're handing off to them is not the world that I wanted to be handing off to them or that I believed we would be when I was a child. You know, came of age in the 60s and 70s. When we really had a promise of you know, sort of generational improvement, being a leader around the world in really important and powerful ways. And I think that I both saw an opportunity personally because of the blessing that I've had, but also an obligation because I think that the public sector needs good, experienced, knowledgeable private sector folks to work in partnership with government to address some of the challenges out there.
Well, Dan, I want to officially be, you've been 6 weeks, you said you've been in office. I want to officially be the first person to ask, when will you be running for president of the United States of America?
I'm not sure I would wish that on anybody. I will say, too, that my chief of staff, coincidentally, is from Iowa. So, isn't that cool?
Wow. And your chief of staff's name?
Her name is Michaela Morrill, M-O-R-R-I-L-L. And, you know, I'm a little embarrassed because I'm not sure what town in Iowa she grew up in, but she moved out here to go to school and got involved in politics. And she was with my predecessor in the state house as his chief of staff. He was the state senator that preceded me, and she's just a wonderful person. So I have very fond feelings about Iowa, even though I think I've only been through the state once. I look forward to coming back.
Well, we hopefully that was driving as well as flying overhead, Dan. We would love to have you back. We'll look forward to that. And for folks who are now chopping at the bit, they're saying, listen, I'll drive to whatever port you serve, and then I'll fly from that point forward, or I have to do to get on a Cape Air airplane. What's the best way for people to figure out where you do fly out of and how to get on one of your airplanes? Where do they go?
We have a great website. It's capeair.com. That's C-A-P-E, as in the Cape, air.com. And it's got route maps in there, and you'll get a feeling for, you know, the values and the philosophy of the company. And very active in a lot of vacation getaways. So I think a lot of Iowans will be able to experience the Cape Air slice of aviation by coming out to Cape Cod and the islands, Nantucket, Martha's Vineyard. We fly all over the Caribbean, so go through San Juan, you'll probably end up on a Cape Air airplane. We have a hub in St. Louis. So, you know, there's a lot of different places where you can hook into the Cape Air network, and we would love to see folks do that.
Well, I heard some nice warm climates in there mentioned along that litany of places, Dan. So definitely piqued our interest, and we appreciate it. And the best of luck and continued growth in doing what you do oh so well, and continued luck at the State House as well. Thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you so much. This is a wonderful interview. I really enjoyed it.
Dan Wolf, 1350 KRNT, great guy. Wonderful. Cape Air, well, you know, one of those airplanes. I'm going to be back in those, heading out to upstate New York coming up about 3-4 weeks again. I'll be privileged to fly on Cape Air. 8:35 now is the On Secret Shopper radio show. Flight continues. No turbulence ahead. Coming up, Jim White, the VP of Guest Satisfaction at the Isle of Capri Casino. It's also your chance to win a two-night stay at Casino Hotel Waterloo and dinner for two at Otis and Henry's Bar and Grill, plus $100 spending fun money when you get there. But next, listen, I'm going to give you some tips on how to avoid getting a traffic ticket. All right, yeah, because I have some experience in that particular area. That's next here at the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show, 1350 KRNT.
Zero Down delivers style, quality, value, and all-wheel drive at Des Moines Imports. Zero Down also delivers the hottest crossovers with payments as low as $269 a month. Hi, this is Matt Sokolowski, manager at Des Moines Imports, inviting you to the Zero Down Delivers sales event. Kia has raised the bar on crossovers with Sorento and Sportage. Both redesigned for 2011 and top safety picks, Sorento and Sportage are loaded with standard equipment like Bluetooth, iPod USB ports, Sirius satellite radio, and traction control. Right now, Zero Down delivers Sportage for just $269 a month and Sorento for just $279 a month. That's right, Zero Down, just $269 a month for one of the best crossovers on the road. Kia, the power to surprise with a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty. Locally owned and proud member of the Gabus Auto Group, Des Moines Imports. Import quality for thousands less. One block north of I-80-35 at the Highway 141 exit or 24/7 at DesMoinesImports.com.
Every day, more people are discovering Dahl's Pharmacy. Oh, it's been around since 1952, now in all 12 Dahl's Metro locations. Quietly doing things right. Prompt, courteous service, competitive prices, and real professionals who are happy to offer advice, discuss your Medicare options, or answer any questions you may have. Give your neighborhood Dahl's Pharmacy a try. You'll wish you'd done it sooner. And don't forget your flu shot. Walk-ins are welcome. Dahl's, expect more.
Yeah! 8:37 at the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show, 1350 KRNT. Hope you having a great Saturday. Enjoy your weekend. Warmer day tomorrow, but rain starting tonight. And those are two good things at this particular time of year. Right now we're at 29 degrees and clouds. We'll see nothing but clouds and 44 by the end of the day. Okay. A while back I wrote a little blog post about spending some time in the Hooskow. What's the Hooskow? Well, I hope you never have to know what the Hooskow is. The big house, also known as jail. Yeah, I'm not proud of it, but it was an interesting experience. When I was 24 years old, I acquired a number of traffic tickets. 33, to be exact. Yes, 33. You heard correctly. Don't adjust your radios. Now, these were not all speeding tickets, but there were certainly enough in there. No drunk driving. I don't drink. I've never been drunk. I get drunk on life, baby. That's mine. Hi. Yes, it is. So, anyway, long, long, long story, of which you can read the abbreviated version if you go to www.thensecretshopper.com. After a number of tickets and then getting in an accident, and basically how it works is after you acquire a number of tickets, eventually the state of Iowa will say, you know, I just don't think you've quite mastered the art of driving. So they'll suspend your license. Now, you know, smart people understand, okay, suspension, that sounds like maybe like I can't drive. But, I was 24, I just thought, okay, I don't know what that means. I'll just keep driving and then maybe somebody will tell me. Well, they did eventually when then I was revoked. Now, suspension's bad. Revokes, that's getting a little worse. And, of course, I still drove. So here I am driving. My license is revoked. I have no insurance. Of course, who's going to insure someone who is revoked? No one will. And I'm driving in Boone, Iowa on a Sunday, and what do? I get in a very minor accident. I hit the truck in front of me. My airbag deploys. I just, Looking back on this, it's like it's almost like reliving the Poseidon adventure. When I think about that, it's like the ship went upside down. I'm trying to make my way to the top. It's a wonder I survived it. So anyway, I am in front of a judge who is reading several sheets of paper upon which all of my violations are listed, and he says, "Mr. Wright, it is clear to this court that you have not learned how to drive. I sentence you to 10 days in jail." And so, boom! As Emmer would say, yeah, I was hen to the big house. That big house was a Story County jail. It was a prison to me. Okay, you can call it a jail if you want to. A minor little jail to me. It was prison. So for the next 10 days, and it wasn't immediately following that hearing, and I did some fun things, actually. I applied for, I went through the process of appealing. And there's some steps, and I did it myself. And that, I got to tell you, that was kind of fun till I gave up and had to go to prison. So 10 days in jail, and it actually was a great learning experience. I look back on it. But here, I want to give you some tips so you never, ever have to go through what Johnny did. I just don't want that to ever happen to you because I care about you so much. This is from MSNautos.com. It talks about ways to avoid getting traffic tickets. Yes. First, one of the top things is to drive, and some of these are going to be self-evident. We call them straw men. They seem kind of obvious to us, but they're smart things, though. I think these people are onto something. For example, drive within 5 to 10 miles per hour of surrounding traffic. Makes sense. That way you don't stand out. Another thing to do is try to stay in the middle of the pack of traffic as you're out driving today. Yes, again, that's kind of like number one. Another thing is to find a rabbit. And you do this. You do the person who is speeding. You say, all right, I'm going to get behind the person who's speeding. And I'm just going to, like, tailgate them. Not tailgate. I want to follow them. And so if anybody's going to get let up, it's going to be that dude or dudette who is speeding. Okay? Find the rabbit. You didn't know that had a term, did you? Now you know. Number four, do not change lanes frequently or tailgate or drive aggressively. Yes, you should never really do that, but if you're speeding, but then how do you, okay, if you're staying in the middle of the pack, what if the pack is a bunch of 80-year-old people who are heading off to gum their dinner at Denny's? I mean, you know, that's going to be slow going. That sort of violates the whole idea of being able to, you know, drive a little faster. All right, we'll get to that. Number five, avoid the fast lane, the passing lane, or the quick lane. Yeah, stay over in the slow lane where all the slow cars are. I don't know if I like this advice. This to me sounds counter, but okay. They just want you to avoid a ticket. Watch for cutouts in the median strip. Yes. Then number six, so if that's where law enforcement people tend to sit and do their, you know, donut eating and everything. Nah, come on. I'm kidding. Listen, I eat more donuts than most cops I know. And I know a few. Number seven, don't speed when you are the only car on the road. Yes, you're very obvious. I remember driving through Oklahoma once on I-35, very long stretch through there. And it was in the middle of the night. I was like the only person there. And the divided interstate, of course, there's quite a bit of distance between the roads at parts along the interstate there along Oklahoma. And all of a sudden, I see this huge spotlight flashed over on my car. And it was a cop. It was a highway patrolman. He was telling me nicely to slow down. So I did listen, and I did slow down. It was nice. It says, you know, get a radar detector where they're legal. I've never had one. I don't know. I think there's easier ways to do this, and we're going to get to that easier way. It says, number nine, drive a nondescript vehicle. Come on, man. I had a 72 Bel Air followed by a 72 Toyota Corolla. Is there anything more descript than those two? Nondescript in those two cars, and I still went spend time with the big house. All right, but hey, listen, who am I to challenge MSN Autos? Number 10, actually number 10, 11, and 12 are mine. Now I'm adding to this list. Do not make excuses if you get pulled over. I know people that get pulled over a lot, and they've never gotten a ticket. And you know, listen, I've tried flashing cleavage, okay? I've tried that route. All it did was get me, more time in prison, all right? I'm just telling you. So there's things you should do and not do. I think one thing you don't do is say, are you sure that detector thing is working in your car, okay? Were you paying any attention to how fast I was really going? Yeah, you don't question the officer. But I'm going to give you the one that works. I'm going to tell you something that really has worked for me, and this could be number 12, I think, at this point, and that is to ask for leniency. I've done it. And I'm not saying breaking down and crying, you know, and weeping uncontrollably, because then they'll bring another vehicle up and that's the guys with the, you know, the rubber room and the white thing that they put on you. No. But say, listen, please, I'm sorry I made a mistake. I'm so sorry, but please don't write me a please. I'm begging you. Don't do it. I'm sorry. I won't do it again, but please don't write me up for nothing. I'm so sorry. Yeah, something like that, kind of subtle like that. See how that works. But it's worked. I've done it a couple times. And then, if nothing else fails, if all else fails, sorry, I said that wrong. One thing you can do, and this is true, is that say to the cop, listen, I think that was the person in front of me. Now, you're going to laugh about that, but it's actually a couple times, and I thought I was right because I said, no, the guy in front of me was just blasted by me. Are you sure it wasn't him? And the law enforcement guy said, yeah, you know, okay. And he went and chased that guy down. And so, and the number one way to avoid getting tickets, of course, is driving the speed limit. All right. So I was coming to that one. I mean, it was obvious that, you know, that was going to get to that. And so it took a lot of years for me to figure out that was really the way to avoid speeding tickets. So if you want to read about my 10 days in jail, it's sort of it was kind of funny. I remember the City of Carroll Police Department, on the last day I did radio there, long story, 1988, they were ringing me up for tickets left and right. I was driving a car that was not roadworthy at all, should never have been on the road. I had about 9, 10, 11 tickets. My last day on the air, as a gift, they gave me a framed copy of a misdemeanor warrant for my arrest. You know, it just, I cried. I was just, I was kaflumping, whatever that term is. 8:46 now, the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show, 1350 KRNT coming up. Jim White, the VP of Guest Satisfaction at the Isle of Capri Casinos, and your chance to win 2-night stay at Casino Hotel Waterloo and dinner for two at Otis and Henry's Bar and Grill, plus $100 spending fun money. All that coming up next, the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show at 1350 KRNT.
This year, everyone needs a flu shot. At Dahl's Pharmacy, walk-ins are welcome. Flu shots are covered by Medicare and most insurance programs. This year's vaccine protects for 1 year against H1N1 and the seasonal variety. Ask your Dahl's pharmacist about cholesterol screening, INR level screening, a medicine review, plus pneumonia and shingles vaccines. Dahl's accepts all insurance programs. Since 1952, the neighborhood pharmacy you can trust. Dahl's. Expect more.
Want to save money this month and have a better running vehicle? We can help you with that. Get a $20 instant rebate on all Napa cabin or air filters with the purchase of any oil service this month. The $20 instant rebate air filter special, only from AAA approved Westside Auto Pros. Maintain your car with us. With temperatures falling and Des Moines gas prices rising, it's a great time to consider nitrogen for your tires. Filling your tires with nitrogen instead of regular air will keep them at a more constant pressure in the winter, which helps your car get better gas mileage, and that will save you money at the pump. Ask about the benefits of nitrogen for your tires from AAA approved Westside Auto Pros. Maintain your car with us.
On 92nd Court, just off Swanson Boulevard in Clive. 8:48 now, the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show, 1350 KRNT, trying to give my Iowa State Cyclones a little karma as they take on Missouri. 12:45 tip, I'm going to be at Hilton Coliseum with all my friends. Hope to see you there. And let's face it, University of Iowa and Iowa State, yeah, we stink this year. But I gave a little good karma, whatever team you follow. Your weather forecast, be a good day to be out. Cloudy, but 44, not bad. We'll hit 61 tomorrow with rain and then back down to 45, back to work on Monday. Right now, we're at 29 degrees. Well, we wrote about my experience at Prairie Meadows. I secret shop Prairie Meadows. It's been about, 6 weeks or so, maybe a couple months. And the customer service was a little questionable. You can find all the details there at www.theunsecretshopper.com. But I know one place where they give great customer service, the Isle of Capri Casinos. And Jim White, the VP of Guest Satisfaction at the Isle of Capri Casinos, is one of the big reasons why he joins us this morning. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Johnny. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm great. Thank you so much. Jim, how did you get involved in the gaming industry? Tell me about that journey a little bit.
Oh, Johnny, it was back in 1989. I was just prior to the junior year of my college education, and I was working actually at an amusement park. in Clementon, New Jersey, and I was not making a lot of money, and one of my relatives has said, you know, you should think about going to the casino industry. They pay a lot of money, and it just seems like a fun job, and I interviewed for a job as a bus greeter, and I actually got the job and started making an hour commute from where I was living at the time. But it was a very fun job, and it was like a $2 more an hour raise from where I was making, and it just seemed to fit, and so, I stuck with it.
So, Jim, did you, when someone says, hey, you should go to the gaming industry, is it because you always, like, won bets with your friends or something? Or what was, how did they happen to pick the gaming? What was it about you that they thought, wow, Jim, gaming, I think there's a fit there?
The relative of mine that suggested it just, I guess, knew my personality and thought that I would fit in, and she was a very big aficionado for going to the casinos, and I don't know, those two things kind of came together, and that's where it all started.
Now, is there any history of hospitality or that sort of customer service stuff or gaming in your family at all, sort of your career path? Is there a history of that at all?
No, I was the first person within my family to work in a hospitality environment.
Wow, and here you are, you're schlepping an hour to get into work, to get a little bit of a raise and to go into something, and you've been doing this kind of thing since 1989.
Yes.
Wow, and so along the way, you obviously developed an affinity, you understood, you saw. Just tell me about that journey. What led you from that point into actually being the head of VP of Guest Satisfaction for the Isle of Capri Casinos?
Well, Johnny, I have to tell you that gaming is something that gets in your blood. If you enjoy the excitement and the stimulation from something that goes, well, back then it wasn't 24/7, but of course gaming has progressed into that, but it's just something that gets in your blood. And I knew that when I got into that industry and I could see some of the jobs that were out there, that the one job that I always wanted to do was to be a casino host. And I applied for that job probably 7 or 8 times and was shot down because I didn't have a book of players or anything to bring to the table. And I was fortunate enough to meet somebody along my journey who saw in me the characteristics that they thought would make a great host, and they took me in and they hired me and promoted me to that job and worked with me a little bit, where I was able to kind of grow into, you know, casino host into a player development executive, which is kind of all sales and customer service because you're kind of selling yourself.
Right.
And from there, I kind of just continued down that journey and got a call to go to the Isle of Capri's from a recruiter who was looking for somebody with my diverse kind of background to go out and start a player development program at the Isle of Capri. And I obviously accepted that position and moved across the country from New Jersey into St. Louis. And when the Isle of Capri changed management, the new management team thought that I had the right skill set to develop this courtesy program that we have at the Isle of Capri and grow it into what it has currently become. So I guess that's kind of a very brief roadmap.
Sure. Well, you're a long way from Jersey. You grew up a Jersey kid. And now I assume you're in St. Louis headquarters, but you travel all over to all the casinos, correct? Isle of Capri casinos.
That is correct. I actually visit every one of our properties once every quarter to do training for any of the new hire team members that have come into our company since my last visit. And I do all the training for the program that I administer single-handedly so I can manage the message.
Wow. Hey, listen, now that's what I like to hear. I mean, that's what everybody asks me. How do you do 12 Dole's grocery stores and all that? And you just summed it up better than I ever do. It said, I have control over it. You feel like you have control. That way, if it's a success, obviously you take credit. And if it's not working, you're the last guy. The buck ends with you, right?
That's very true. And see, since you do the same thing, you really understand. If you can manage your message and take control of it and know that every employee that you train is hearing the message that you are putting forth, you're right. It either sinks or swims with me, but at least I'm the one that owns what is being said.
Absolutely right. Oh, my God. Listen, I want to take you on some visits I have with owners, because that's what it's all about. And what is it, Jim? What do you look for in an employee, the people you work with? Is there a sparkle in there? And this is somewhat of a straw man question. I always talk about hire happy, train skills. It's sort of a little moniker of what I do. What do you see the characteristics where you say, yeah, that's going to be a person who's going to rock in this industry. They're going to do a great job. What do you look for?
Well, that's a great question, because I'm going to tell you, years ago, I think our company had a mindset of, you know, let's get them hired, let's look for the best candidate for the job, and do it based on a skill set. And I'd have to say, over the last 3 years, our HR department in the corporate office has done a fabulous job getting away from that and implementing something that they've called the hiring toolkit, in which we do a lot of what you just said. We look, we hire based on personality, to the point where we put new applicants through what we call a courtesy interview, and we give them kind of a role-playing situation where they can, we can see how they would interact in a social way first, and if the personality is there, we can train them to do what we want later. And if there's a little bit of that in their background, that's also great too, as far as what the skill is. But we hire for personality, and we train them to do what we want afterwards, and that has gone extremely well for our company, and the caliber of people that we've been getting into the positions that we hire for have been really, really great when it comes to customer service or courtesy-based roles.
And what you said is so powerful, Jim, because you want to know right at that point in that interview, can the person do it? Or do they come to life? Do they have that sparkle in their eye? And sort of put them in that role-playing, put them on the spot, my words, not yours. You want to know them, because if they're kind of dull and adults and kind of not and soft-spoken right there, you know it's probably not going to get any better when they're actually out on the floor.
Well, you're right, because if you can't see how they're going to interact in a social setting in front of you, you know that when you set them loose and do their jobs with the customers, they're not going to do it then either.
My guest this morning is Jim White. He is the VP of Guest Satisfaction at the Isle of Capri Casinos at 1350 KRNT. And the Isle of Capri Casinos has grown so much. How many casinos are we talking about now, Jim?
Well, Johnny, we actually have 15 operating at the moment. We were granted the last casino license in the state of Missouri, and we will be opening up in about a year and a half to 2 years from now, the new Isle Casino that's going down in Cape Girardeau. And, you know, we have our eyes open for other jurisdictions, but currently 15, a 16th one to come, and I guess who else knows from there.
Wow. And so once a quarter, you visit those, and I assume sometimes it may be more, you visit those casinos, you do your training. Tell me a little bit about the training, what that looks like when you do it.
Well, you know, we put together a little program to kind of emphasize all the little touch points in customer service, you know, kind of dealing with unhappy guests and, you know, the different things that we look for in the program. The program itself focuses on our employees doing three very basic and easy behaviors with our guests, which is to greet them, to make eye contact with them, and then to make sure you say goodbye to them, hopefully with a smile on your face, but the departure is the main part of the program, and we've done it to keep it simple. And if you look across companies that have customer service programs, most of their programs, even if they have five or six or seven touch points, our three are in their four, five, six, whatever it is. So we just try to dumb it down to keep it as simple as possible, and we track it on the back end with a mystery shopping company who is observing from afar. They're not interacting, they're observing. Those team members do those same behaviors. And, you know, based on them getting the shop right, which would be doing all three behaviors, which would be 100%, they're scored, and every quarter there's a goal for the property, and if they meet the goal based on the scores, they get a cash bonus in their pocket.
Well, Jim, you know, I feel like I've just found my kindred spirit on the planet. I mean, it's so funny because, you know, my own training program here locally is smile, greet, engage, thank, follow up, give chocolate. There's actually six pillars, but you've summed it up. I mean, that's and that end point, that touch, as you say, that one that you gave more emphasis to, you're so right, because that's obviously the last thing that customers remember.
That's correct.
Well, it's...
That is correct.
Jim White at 1350 KRNT. All right, I got to give away stuff. I'm going to give it away right now. I'm going to put a smile on your face and a song on your heart. All right, I got two nights stay, compliments of the Casino Hotel Waterloo, and dinner for two at Otis and Henry's Bar and Grill, plus $100 spending money for you this morning. We're going to make it real easy. Put a smile on your face, a song on your heart. Caller number 9 this morning, 244-1350. 244-1350. Caller number 9 this morning is going to win dinner for two at Otis and Henry's Bar and Grill, plus two-night stay at Casino Hotel Waterloo. I'd love to say, plus I'm going to give you $100 Yeah, it's a little cash in your pocket. You can go spend it. You can go do a little gambling and enjoy yourself. On behalf of the good folks at Isle of Capri Casino, I want to thank them so much. Elissa and Jim, why, thank you so much. And thank you for tuning in as the last show we do it for a while. I'll let you know who our winner is on the blog post this morning at www.theunsecretshopper.com. Have a great weekend.